Good morning and welcome into Peach Talk. This is Our Town on WKLF. And our very special guest this morning in our studio is Miss Jana Zelski from Butterfly Bridge. And Jana has a guest with her. I'll let you introduce your guest. Good morning, Jana.
Good morning. Thanks for having us. I also have here with me Brittany Ellison, who serves as our events and development coordinator.
All right. We're going to talk about... Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning.
We're going to talk a little bit about Butterfly Bridge. A lot of folks in town probably still don't know what Butterfly Bridge is. Of course, I do because I have my wife's daughter works closer with you from time to time. So I'm familiar with what goes on at Butterfly Bridge. And it is an awesome organization. And I really respect y'all for what y'all do. If I tried to do that, I'd be walking around crying all the time. So I don't know how y'all handle what you have to deal with, but somebody has to do it. And it is just so wonderful that we've got somebody in our community that handles the situations that Butterfly Bridge is a part of handling. So to start with, Jana, a little bit of the history of Butterfly Bridge. What year did Butterfly Bridge actually begin?
So we actually began in 2012, so we just celebrated 11 years in existence here in Chilton County. So,
awesome. And Butterfly Bridge started out not where you're presently located. You're actually in the third location from its inception.
That's right. That's right. We have been in our third location for a little over a year now. And for some people, that's bad news that we keep moving because we need more space for more services. And it's bad and it's good. We do need more space because we are unfortunately seeing more children who need our services. But at the same time, we're able to provide so many more services now than we used to could when we had just gotten started. So, yes.
Yeah, that's one of those businesses that you just don't want to see grow because the growth means something bad is increasing. Is always good that we've got something to handle that something bad. And glad that you're increasing in size. And as you started out with Butterfly Bridge, it started out down in the south end of Clanton. Kind of behind where the South Dollar General is located.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then you moved to downtown Clanton, right on Main Street, in the heart of Clanton, mm-hmm. In a building that Ken Messer's family and Ann and Tommy Glasscock now own.
Right.
And the building you were in there was actually when you moved in there, a lot of people might remember Sutley's Jewelry would have been on one side and Messer's on the other side. And the store you moved in, we were talking before we went on air. If my memory serves me correct, and I'm an old dude, there was a little dress shop located in that building that was a part of the Chicago sales business, which dates back way back. It was right downtown, and I remember that because I had an aunt that worked there, and Miss Agnes Eastland, which is the widow of Mary and W. Eastland, that worked here at WKLF, did America's Favorites for many, many years and was one of the original people in 1947 when KLF signed on to be on the air. His wife worked in that little dress shop, and I remember that little shop there. And then, of course, later on, when Ken Messer bought the building on the corner, which way back was Deloach's grocery store.
I didn't know that.
And Ken bought that building, and when he went into business, moved down there, where Mary Ann actually started the business as Messer's Fashion Shop, and then later on Ken went in the jewelry business in there, and which is now Moreland's on the other corner.
Right.
But y'all were next door to that. Y'all were there quite a few years, weren't you?
We were there 10 years, and that building served us very well for 10 years, but it just got to the point where we outgrew the space. But it was a wonderful location for many years for us.
Pretty good location by being convenient to the courthouse, because I know y'all work, when we get into what Butterfly Bridge actually does in a minute, y'all work close with a lot of people from the court system, both city and county, so it was nice to be really located there. Of course, y'all have a wonderful location now. It's still not too far out of town. Y'all are located up on Fifth Avenue.
Correct.
And right between, I guess, between Fifth Street and Sixth Street on Fifth
yes.
Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And most folks will recognize that that location is Dr. Joe Moore's old house.
Yes, correct. Yes. Yeah. It's a wonderful new location for us. The house has got so much charm, and it's so welcoming to the kids that come there. We have that big, beautiful yard, and it's serving us very well. We've been there a little over a year now.
I hadn't really thought about that, but I mm-hmm. guess that would be the first impression for a child. Mm-hmm. To be going to a house
yes.
rather than to a business or mm-hmm. to a room at court would probably make a lot of difference in the child's perception of what's going on.
Yes, absolutely.
And I guess we might as well go ahead and get to the meat of what Butterfly Bridge is all about.
Okay.
And it is an organization that really represents children when they need representing the most.
Yes. So Butterfly Bridge is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we serve children and adolescents who have been through things like sexual abuse, severe physical abuse, children whose eyes may have seen something that a child's eyes should never see. Maybe they've witnessed crime, whether it's within their house or just wherever that may be. So those are the primarily the kids and the adolescents that we work with who have been through things like that. But we work very, very closely, as you've already alluded to, with partners in our county who all have their role when it comes to an investigation of a child abuse case, like I've mentioned. And so we work very closely with the Department of Human Resources, law enforcement agencies, other mental health professionals, medical professionals, district attorney's office, and yes, we are in the court system quite a bit with these kiddos. But our role is to provide a neutral, child-friendly location where a child can come and talk to somebody one time in a childlike, home-like environment about the things that have happened, and we have trained forensic interviewers on staff, so the child is able to speak to somebody who has really specialized training in order to talk to them in a way that is appropriate to their age, that is not leading, that's not suggesting anything. So we can get really good information for DHR and law enforcement as they are investigating, so that they can utilize the information that we get from that child to continue their investigation. And so we are the neutral party that pretty much helps them all the way from the investigation. We also provide follow-up services to help them heal from something like sexual abuse, and we'll also help them all the way through the court system. So we could be involved with the family 2 to 3 years if their case is actually going through the court system. So we're the neutral agency that helps them from the very beginning all the way to the end of the process, along with all those other partners I mentioned.
All right. Well, let's back up just a little bit, because this is one thing that a lot of people may not know and understand about the organization of Butterfly Bridge, and that is before the existence of Butterfly Bridge, mm-hmm. These kids really had a tough time.
Yeah.
Because if, mm-hmm. let's say there was a child and that was sexually abused, then the law enforcement would get involved, and law enforcement would have to interview that child. Not once, but probably multiple times, because one investigator would do part of the job, and then another one, and then an attorney would come in representing one party, and they would have to interview the child, and then another attorney representing the other party would have to come in and interview the child, and the poor child is just drugged through a literal hell.
Right, being re-traumatized.
To be re-traumatized, to be... just to be represented as the child should be represented.
Correct.
And y'all came along and put an end to a lot of that, because now a child that goes through that kind of traumatic experience comes into your office, mm-hmm. into a pleasant organization, looks like a home, mm-hmm. into a room that is a friendly room, not a back room off of a courtroom somewhere or a sheriff's mm-hmm. office or an interrogation room. But they come into a friendly environment. And then they're talked with by somebody that they can trust and not be scared of, that is somebody that is a completely neutral figure. That's what's just awesome about Butterfly Bridge.
Well, thank you.
And the work y'all do.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
we meet some really brave children every day. The things that they come forward with take a lot of courage to come forward with. And so those kids amaze us every day and teach us a lot, too.
I get a little emotional when I start thinking about kids and some of the things that happen to kids. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, you know, y'all should be honored in what you do because you do the tough job. I mean, that's something that I just could not handle. you know, somebody that abuses a child there. So I think there's a special place for them somewhere, and it's kind of hot there. Well, Butterfly Bridge, how many people do you have on staff now?
So we have at our office in Chilton County, there are five of us, but we now also have offices in Prattville and in Wetumpka. So we have an office in every county that's in the, every county that's in the 19th Judicial Circuit. So what's really cool about it is each kid is served right in their county. They don't have to travel over to another county to get the services, which in itself is just difficult too. So we have 10 total staff members, but five in our Chilton County office.
Okay. In the other locations, do you have a facility similar to the one you have
we
here
do.
That is you know, outside the court system?
Yes, and, absolutely. They are separate facilities with the same childlike environment, with the same sorts of interview rooms and therapy rooms, and the same neutral staff. Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been in your new building, which is my fault because I should have come visit you before. I was on a couple of times in your old building, and I thought I cut that off. Let me cut that phone off. I was in your old building a couple of times and was able to see the interview rooms and understand a little bit how it works, and that's something that people might be interested in, because when the child is being interviewed, there might be multiple law enforcement officers, attorneys representing both sides that might be involved, that might be sitting in another room where they can observe and listen to the interview, so that there's no question of what took place, you know, outside of their sight, and the child doesn't have to deal with even knowing that they are looking at them or listening to them or anything. The child is one-on-one or one-on-two with trained people that are keeping the child's confidence and getting the information that all these other people in the other room need to have. And of course, I'm assuming it's all recorded, so anybody can go back and look again. And that way they don't have to keep going back to the child and re-asking the same questions over and
Correct.
Over.
The only correction I would make in what you said is whenever we're doing the forensic interviews, it's typically always the law enforcement agent that's been assigned to investigate the case and the DHR worker that's assigned to investigate the case. And those are really the only two agencies at the point that new in an investigation that, because we're basically getting evidence that could be utilized
before a suit or something winds up taking place.
Right. So there's not typically going to be a lot of attorneys, because at that point it's so early in the investigation, not even sure how it's going to move forward.
They would have access to go back and watch the interview at a later
Correct.
Date.
Rather than re-interviewing the child, like if it gets to the district attorney's office and it's put through the criminal justice system. So yeah, we do those interviews at their request during their investigation, because they know that's the best way for a child to be interviewed by somebody specially trained, and also, like you said, one time rather than multiple times. Right.
And that's the key. That's really the key point that I see, that child is, you know, doesn't have to go through it but one time. I mean, they've already been through it one time. But every time they have to go revisit that, that's almost like them going through that again. And so that's what's awesome about the service that Butterfly Bridge does, is that child is protected in the interview process. Now, I'm assuming that in the interview process, when you've got law enforcement and DHR in the other room, they have a means that they can communicate with you particular questions that they might need to be asked of the victim.
So the forensic interviewer, we do have very specialized training, and so we conduct the forensic interview, and there's typically a point at the end of the interview where we make sure the child's okay, just sitting there maybe drawing a picture. We step out, and we do speak with those investigators who are assigned to the case to check in with them to see if there are other questions we need to ask or to clarify. So it is very much a team interview, but the kid is talking to one person. But DHR's investigation is very different than law enforcement's investigation, so what's really great about the interview is that the interviewer can get information for both of those agencies that they need, you know, in order to do a complete investigation, whether it's a criminal investigation or whether, you know, DHR is making sure that child is safe and their home is safe. And, you know, if something has happened to that child, they want to know that as well. So,
All right. And, well, there's one thing about the operations you do. It doesn't happen for no expense. There has to be some funding available there, which is a very important part Anytime you've got something that is an important operation, it has to be funded. And so let's talk a little bit about funding for Butterfly Bridge, because y'all are a 501c3 mm-hmm. nonprofit corporation. So that tells me right off the bat y'all work off of contributions.
We do.
And you don't get tax dollars. You don't get you don't have a fee for your service. These services are provided free of charge to the families that are involved, and especially the children. Because a lot of times, sad to say, the family is the abuser, and the child is still the victim. So the child really doesn't have anybody to represent them other than the system itself. Which has a lot of holes when it comes to representing a child. So it's wonderful that y'all are there. But like I say, as a volunteer organization, of course, you have to pay people, because you don't get people of the quality that you have to have. The forensic interviewer is not going to volunteer their time for free. So they have to get paid. And power company doesn't furnish you lights for free. I know the city has partnered with you and helped a lot, and the county helps in a lot of places, but there's still a big gap to fill in. And that's where the general public comes into play.
Correct.
And y'all have one major fundraiser every year, and it's right around the corner. And that's an event that's called Flutter. So we've talked about Butterfly Bridge a little bit. So now let's talk about Flutter just a little bit.
I'm going to throw this one to Brittany.
And what's coming up. So we'll let Brittany slide up to the microphone. And what is the date for Flutter? And let's talk about Flutter a little bit.
Okay, so it's always been the first Thursday in February. So this year that's going to fall on February 2nd. It's going to be at the 6th Street Warehouse from 5:30 to 7:30. And it's a really fun night. Everybody that comes always seems to enjoy it and come back again. We'll have a live and silent auction, live entertainment with music, heavy hors d'oeuvres. What else am I missing?
Just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The community always comes out and shows up, and it's a great time to just be around people in the community who care about the mission of Butterfly Bridge and want to be supportive of it, and also just have a good time as well. So,
And you'll have let's cover some examples. Of course, I know you don't know exactly what's going to be there this year.
Yeah,
but in past years, we know what's been there. So what kind of things might be in, for instance, the silent auction?
Okay.
We'll start with the silent auction. And explain the silent auction, how it works. Some people don't understand how a silent auction works.
Yeah, so the bidding on the auction items for our event don't start until that night at 5:30. And what we do is we have kind of three different sections of the silent auction. We try to have something for everybody, so the tables are broken up by value, and they close at different times throughout the night. And so that all leads up to the live auction, and the live auction is at 7. So we'll have items from gift certificates for things like massages, jewelry, art. This year, I know a few that we have already coming in. So we have a mini Yorkie puppy that's going to be, that was donated for the auction by Cindy and Trent Martin. We have two tickets to a Blake Shelton concert in Birmingham. Let's see, a 12-gauge shotgun. We have CCHS and Maplesville Ag Department, whose students have built several different items that they've done there and worked with the students. We have a farm table. So just a lot of different things. Anything you can think of, we would probably have it. And we try to have something for everybody. So when you come, whether you have whatever amount you have to donate and spend that night, there's something for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes you feel like you get a little something instead of just giving your money away. And you do get a little something.
Everybody likes a little competition with the bidding.
Well, that's the fun part. In a silent auction, when the auction opens, you go by the table where the items are at. Mm-hmm. And you correct me if I'm wrong on my explanation of this. You go by the tables when it's open, and you find an item that you say, well, I'd like to have that. Mm-hmm. And so you write down your name, and you say, I would give $10 for that. And so your name's on there at $10. And you walk around to another table, and you find another item, and you put down your name and how much you would make an offer on that for, and you continue to walk around while you're enjoying the music and the fellowship and the entertainment going on.
Right.
And then somebody comes along behind you to that same table, and they look at that, and they say, well, I'd like to have that. And they see, well, Chris Johnson wrote down $10. I'm not going to let him have that for $10. I'm going to give $20
well,
for
that. You might have to be a little bit more of an investigator, because we do only do it by number. So when
numbers.
Check in to the event, you'll get a big card with a number on it. So you're going to have to watch and see who it is that's maybe bidding
right.
on the item you want.
Well, so you can't pick on somebody particularly.
Correct.
That's fine. But you can still say, well, that's not going to go for $10. I'll give $24.
I'll have to say, I've noticed some people, they like to hang around what they're bidding on, so they'll know who's bidding
yeah.
against them. So it still is a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, but then you just go back and revisit, and you say, mm-hmm. well, Scott Zelsky came by and outbid my $10 on that, and he wrote $20 down, so now I got to go. So
yeah.
now I got to go $30,
right.
and then Tommy Glasscock's going to come around and write down $40 because he doesn't want me to have it either, and so eventually you wind up getting a good bit of money out of that one item that
right.
may be way more than the item's worth, but it's the fun and the challenge, just
yeah.
like in any bid of not only getting your item you're bidding on, but winning. It's
right.
all about winning in this world, this day and time.
Yes.
So, and you'll have there'll be quite a few items in the silent bid that
yeah.
you can
yeah.
That
we
you
usually
bid on.
Look around close to 100 items
yeah.
that are donated to us, so that it is a good spread of different items, and like you said, we'll have, you know, the heavy hors d'oeuvres, Valley Grand Mexican Grill in Maplesville is catering the event for us. We will also have music by Mac and Kilgore, which they are a 80s and 90s cover type band, and they play a lot of oldies and of today, so it's going to be a real good mixture, and hopefully everybody will enjoy it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, we'll also mention this for folks listening. If you are an individual or a business, mm-hmm. and you have an item that you would like to donate mm-hmm. to the Flutter event for Butterfly Bridge, mm-hmm. y'all are still looking for things to put in the silent auction. You mentioned you might have 100. Well, it'd be awesome if we had 200, right? So other than the 100 people that's already going to do something, let's get another 100 from our
yeah.
WKLF listeners to bring something.
Yeah.
And some of these items are commercially made items, but also in silent auction, some of them I've been in, there are a lot of sometimes a homemade item. Like if somebody wanted to make a quilt and
oh, yeah.
donate it for, or something, or
yeah.
or somebody that does crochet work, or somebody that they have a craft of building some knick-knack something,
mm-hmm.
y'all would be tickled to death for them to donate it for
mm-hmm.
either the silent or the live auction to, because
yeah.
The more donations you have of items,
mm-hmm.
the more there is for people to bid on, and nothing ever goes unbid on at a silent auction. So
yeah, there's a lot of talented people in the community that donate a lot of things that they've either made or created themselves. So
if you're listening to our program and you have something you might like to donate, they would love to have it, and it would be going to a real good cause, because we've probably got some listeners that didn't know about Butterfly Bridge, and now that they've listened to us for a little while, know about Butterfly Bridge.
Yeah, there's
so,
a lot of ways that they can help. They can purchase a ticket and come to the event and bid on items. They can sponsor the event, donate, or donate an auction item. So all those different ways can help make it a successful event.
All right. Now, if somebody wants to participate or donate an item or buy a ticket or just make a contribution at any time to Butterfly Bridge, what is the procedure for that?
Well, specifically for the event, we have an event site where everything we've talked about, you can find out all the information on it, and it's flutter.swell.gives, and that's flutter.swell.gives. That has all the information we've talked about on there. You can donate, you can buy a ticket, you can become a sponsor, you can find out about
okay.
how to donate an auction
complete
item.
Complete that site, because you got the first part, but you didn't complete it.
flutter.swell.gives.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At something?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Okay.
That's it.
So
it's real simple.
www. That. Okay,
yep.
That's
yep.
the website.
And, of course, if anybody needs to call us, you know, they can always call our office at 205-755-4205. If they just want to ask a question, maybe they do have that auction item to donate, just as soon as they know that, let us know, because there is a major setup that we do before the event. So we'd love to know probably at least by end of day, Monday or Tuesday, if they're going to donate something and they've not already let us know.
We want to have mm-hmm. room to get it on the table.
Correct.
You want to have room to sell it and get that money in for Butterfly Breeds. Yes. All right, and then the live auction, do you know some of the live auction items that are going to be this year?
We usually lean on Tommy Glasscock, the auctioneer. He usually gets with us. We'll probably do it sometime next week and talk with him about what we have, and he always gives us great insight on what he thinks will be the best for that. So I'm sure next week we'll have more details on what exactly will be in the live auction.
Yeah, we're pretty sure that Yorkie Terrier, that will definitely be in the live auction, because that should be a fun one. But usually a really nice piece of jewelry, or we've got a beach condo donated as well for a week stay. So those are the sorts of kind of higher price point things you might see in the live auction.
And you will have a ball if you've never been to a auction. Most auctioneers are fun, but Tommy Glasscock does an excellent job, because I've worked with him 20 years, and he's a nut. Certified, but
you
a nut.
You are correct.
And I can say that because he's a close friend. We worked together and did a lot of our education studies together. So he is officially a nut, and you'll have a good time. If you don't bid on anything and just go listen and watch the auction, I guarantee you'll have a good time. And that event's coming up, once again, the location and date.
Yeah, so it will be on Thursday, February 2nd, at the 6th Street Warehouse from 5:30 to 7:30.
Okay, and tickets are available by going to the website once again.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can get tickets at flutter.swell.gives. You can contact us at the office, or you're welcome to come and get tickets at the door.
So tickets will be available at the door. And in 6th Street Warehouse, located on 6th Street, needless to say. That's the old Ace Hardware building for folks that might not remember where that's at. And come February 2nd, 7 p.m.
5:30 to 7:30.
5:30 to 7:30. Okay. Mm-hmm. I had the time wrong. So come 5:30 to 7:30 at 6th Street Warehouse. If you don't get tickets in advance, you can get them at the door. And you'll have a great time, and you'll be supporting probably what is one of the best causes in Chilton County, because our most precious commodity in Chilton County, and we have a lot of commodities in Chilton County, but our very precious commodity is our children in Chilton County.
Yes,
and so this is an organization that looks out for those kids that need looking out for. Mm-hmm. And I applaud y'all for what you do. It's a tough job. My son-in-law is one of those that has to work with you sometime from the DHR side.
Yes, and he's a good one.
I don't see how he makes it through a day. But that's a gift. That's a calling, to be in the business that y'all are in, it has to be a calling, not a job. And so
you're right about that.
I appreciate y'all and all y'all staff and what y'all do. What have we not covered? We've got a minute or two left here, so is there anything that you can think of that we haven't covered related to a Butterfly Bridge or a Flutter?
I don't think so, but in ending, I would like to say that our focus of Flutter this year, kind of, if you want to call it a theme, it's the theme, but it's change maker. So we're really focusing on how everybody in this community can be a change maker for children. You don't have to work in the office with us every day on the front lines with the kids, but you can pray for the children, you can pray for our staff and our partners that we work closely with, and giving those financial gifts, or even like we have kids in our community who will do a snack drive for us, because those are things we can offer to the kids when they come to the center. So anybody at any age can help us and be a change maker for children, and that's really what we're trying to focus this event around this year, that anybody can be the cause and you know, make change in the life of a child, help them heal from something like the trauma of abuse, because kids can get better. Kids are resilient, they can get better, and we get to see that side of things too, and I think that's what keeps us going every day.
And so Flutter's the main fundraiser, but y'all do have some other fundraisers scattered through the year. Sometimes some people will do some things that benefit Butterfly Bridge. I know one, I think, and I'm hoping I'm not out of the line, and we'll back up and erase it, but I think Pies by Mike does some functions sometimes where he makes some pies available at particular restaurants, and proceeds come to Butterfly Bridge. What other fundraisers besides that comes to mind?
So that sounds like what you might be talking about is April, which April is nationally recognized as Child Abuse Prevention Month. So we focus April on getting just out in the community for prevention and awareness about child abuse. And a lot of the local businesses, restaurants, they will do give backs during the month of April. So a certain percentage on a day or a couple of days of their sales, they will donate back to Butterfly Bridge. So that is a great month.
Yeah. And Pies by Mike is
the give back.
It's always doing that for us every April.
Mike helps out in some other restaurants. I know, I think Country Kitchen does that. Who else?
We've had Neighborhood Grill, Main Street, the Dinner Bell, Hope's Chest has done it before, a local boutique. So it's just a lot of businesses. It's amazing the county and the people in the community that really just rally around Butterfly Bridge, any of our needs, especially when it comes around fundraising and April Child Abuse Prevention Month. They're all very giving and supportive, so it's amazing.
And if you're out there and you have a business and you have a thought for something that could do a fundraising thing that you could give back, and giving back, what goes around comes around is my motto. And so if you've got something, contact Butterfly Bridge.
Yeah,
and they would love to work with you on anything that that could help them out as a fundraiser. So if you've got something, and like I say, don't forget, if you've got something that you could donate to the Flutter event for the live auction or the silent auction, please give them a call. That number again is
it's 205-755-4205.
4205. Mm-hmm. 4205. And they'd love to hear from you. And Jana, we appreciate y'all being with us this morning. Thank you so much for being a part of Peach Talk. This is our town. We do this every Friday morning, and it reruns on Sunday afternoons. And if you haven't planned to go to Flutter on February 2, make your plans right now to be at Flutter 6th Street Warehouse, 5:30 on February the 2nd.
Yes.
Bring a load of cash
with
you. and put your smile on your face, and I guarantee you'll still be smiling when you leave. So thanks so much again, and we appreciate our listeners for their time tuning in to Peach Talk. This is our town.